Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
25 years on from the Good Friday Agreement, and a generation has grown up and come of age in a new society in Northern Ireland, albeit with the issues of the past not very far away. So what does this generation think of the political situation in the country today, of the issues of the past and of their own sense of identity? Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell joins me now from Armagh, where he has been meeting younger people to talk about the Northern Ireland they live in and what the Good Friday Agreement means to them. So Brian, tell us where you are. Firstly,
good morning, Claire. I'm here in the centre of Armagh City in a very different Northern Ireland, St Patrick's Cathedral behind me. It's a bright morning, but it's a different Armagh, and it is a different Northern Ireland to one a quarter of a century ago. There is now, as you said, this whole generation who've grown up post-conflict, many of them of voting age. And I spent much of yesterday in different parts of Armagh discussing issues like identity, inclusion, what the Good Friday Agreement means to them, and how society can move on from the current political paralysis. And while it is a changed landscape here, you are reminded the past isn't very far away. I was struck that a couple of miles after crossing into Northern Ireland yesterday, I noticed a sign which said Irish unity was the solution to Brexit. A couple of miles past that, in a separate area, were signs saying loyalists would never accept a border in the Irish Sea. So you can see the past is ever present. What is being felt by all communities here are the impacts of the current political impasse, be it in health, be it in housing, or as I discovered, in youth services.
And the young people that you met, they're feeling all of those things.
Absolutely. And I began in Portadown, where students from the local area from Portadown College, we met in a fantastic new YMCA building. They've received 1/12 of their funding for that building to run it. They've funding now for maybe 2 or 3 months in place because of the impasse. So I met with students from Portadown College along with their politics teacher. And as you'll hear, they were particularly engaged, Claire, on the issue of identity, beginning with Hannah, who told me she's reminded by the past just walking around her hometown.
You can just be walking down the street and in Portadown, where our school is, there's a very heavily Protestant area and Catholic area, and I feel like there is sort of still tension. If you were walking down an area that you're not from, you would still sort of feel a bit, oh, like you wouldn't feel like you would about it 20 years ago, but you'd still be aware of it. It would still be like in the back of your mind.
That's so interesting. And people talk about this emerging identity here, a Northern Irish identity. What do you think about that?
My mum's side of the family are English, so I would class myself majoritively British, but I still do hold a part of Northern Irish identity. It's where I was born, it's where I grew up, and I feel like I am proud to be Northern Irish, but I'm not proud of what comes out of Northern Ireland.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not proud of the resentment and sectarianism and all of the fighting and all of that. I'm not proud of that part of my identity.
My name's Callum. So we do cross community and cross border stuff with a school in Donegal. And what the main thing I've realised is we see them like once a month. It's not really Protestant Catholic. United Ireland's yes and no. It's more like young people.
It must be frustrating for you as young people seeing this paralysis, if you like, at the heart of government here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it'd be better to go back into government. But I think the protocol does need sorted out before we can go back into government.
I grew up, like mostly on my dad's side, in a very unionist household, and I don't align myself with very many of the beliefs that he holds, so I feel like that's encouraging.
Okay, I would probably say I'm Northern Irish. Like, I wouldn't say I'm British, I wouldn't say I'm Irish.
Would your parents have called themselves Northern Irish?
My grandfather would probably call himself British. We'd have a divided town, like, so some places you won't be really welcome to go, some places they won't be welcome to go.
That's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
Now, there have been some flashpoints in Portadown where you were speaking to those people in recent times.
Yes, and there is still a built interface in Portadown, although in 2013 there was a commitment to have all of these so-called peace walls down across Northern Ireland. Now, this hasn't quite happened. There has been some progress. The young people I met, they obviously talked about integration, they talked about moving on, but that built interface, it remains a stubborn physical divide, if you like, in their hometown. I spoke to Nathan White, who's a youth work manager in the YMCA in Portadown. He talked to me about the presence of the peace wall in Portadown.
I guess some of the geographical makeup of Portadown is that it has one of the biggest interfaces outside of Belfast. So that physical structure of segregation is still present. A wall that segregates one side of the community with the other, Protestant, Catholic. So certainly for us, we try to work with young people to be able to articulate who they are.
So what happens if that wall comes down?
In reality, the wall will come down, and I don't think not anything will happen. It's the evil we know rather than the evil we don't know. So if that wall was to come down, it's the unknown.
I think we have moved on a lot since the Good Friday Agreement.
So why do you think there's a need for a physical boundary?
Yeah, I think it's mainly like it's 1% of people who are doing that. Because some people are never going to change, and that's the thing. Some people are just always going to be stuck there.
So what would happen if it was taken down?
You'd like to think nothing would happen, but just that 1% of people. Like for me, obviously, I'm 17, didn't grow up there, and I was like, why is that still there? But then obviously, I do get why people are. Like, I 100%, because like, I'm a unionist, I think I'm British, and I 100% get why people think that, because, like, what some people did to some people, like my granddad's church got bombed, he was a minister, his church got bombed, that's his religion, and it's my religion, and his church got bombed. It's, in a way, it's hard to move on, but so I can understand a bit, but I think it's obviously it's 30 years old now, and I think most people have moved on well.
So that's Nathan, but you also met a young man who was born just a few weeks, Brian, after the Good Friday Agreement was signed.
I met with Keelan Leeper, and he told me his mum is Catholic, his dad is Protestant. He was born, as you said, a couple of weeks after the Good Friday Agreement, so he's 25 next month, and he's one of the peace babies, they were called. These were people born the year the Good Friday Agreement was signed. They were seen, Claire, really as a sign of hope, a sign of future leadership, perhaps, a new direction for here. Keelan is studying history, and this is some of what he told me about what life is like here for him today.
Well, I'm from what's classically termed up here, a mixed marriage.
There has been talk or speculation, but it hasn't really been borne out in the census, around this Northern Irish identity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
For some people, that's another identity. You know, when you're talking about political designation, unionist, nationalist, other. For other people, it's very clearly, because it's a Northern Irish identity, it's almost comes hand in hand with a British identity. For other people, with Irish in the title, it's an acknowledgement of that, but an awareness that you're in Northern Ireland, that sort of thing.
So given that you're pretty much the same age as the Good Friday Agreement, what does it mean to you?
You have the peace process, so to speak, and then you obviously have, at the end of the day, it's a political agreement that's there to establish institutions. So on the one hand, you can look at the peace process element and say how significant that has been. On the other hand, you maybe look at the political agreement, and 25 years on, where we are now, it's sort of up in the air where things will go. We're probably entering into a post-agreement sort of stage, and I think that's from people who are anti-agreement and pro-agreement.
Do you feel your voices are being heard?
It's hard to say. I suppose we've as much political representation as anybody. One thing people always talk about is you don't get asked if you're Catholic and Protestant anymore. It's like,
do you?
Well, you may not be directly asked, but I mean, I think the same questions, what school did you go to, etc. People sort of have their ways of sussing out these things. You talked about the identity question earlier, which has really become a hyper-focused topic since the Belfast Agreement. I carry a British passport. While I certainly hold a sense of Irish identity, my sense of Irishness isn't anything to do with the Republic or to do with the nationalist political tradition or republicanism or separatism. So I don't carry an Irish passport.
And that's Keelan. And you mentioned earlier those funding issues for the YMCA, Brian, in Portadown. And you also heard about funding issues for services for young people in South Armagh.
Yes, I called to the youth centre in Cross MacLean in South Armagh. It's been there for about 50 years providing vital services. When I called there yesterday evening, it should have been a hive of activity, Claire, but it wasn't. Their funding has been paused as well. They've had to pull way back on all their youth engagement programmes. I met with 19-year-old youth worker Saoirse Walsh. Saoirse told me about her experiences growing up post the Good Friday Agreement.
I grew up in Cross MacLean.
What's it like growing up in Cross MacLean?
It's all right, yeah. I wouldn't really fault it in any way.
Tell me about your experience at Cross MacLean compared to your parents.
I'm very grateful for the way the town is now compared to what I've heard from what it used to be, as in bombs going off and my mum told me that her dog was killed. It sounds awful compared to what it is today. I count myself very lucky. All my friends would say they're Irish, yeah, that you wouldn't really hear anyone from Cross saying they're Northern Irish.
You're here in the youth centre. I know that you're hoping to get funding to try and get things going here again, and not having a government isn't helping.
No, it's not helping at all. I just don't really think it's right, because then we're missing out And then because the youth club's missing out, the young people are missing out. And
do you have much interaction with people from different parts of the community?
We do cross-community schemes with the youth club. We're fine talking to them. We've had great times with them.
It's such a different society, isn't it? Like you were saying, from your parents' time. And it's probably hard for you to even imagine what it must have been like here.
Oh, I couldn't even picture it. It baffles me that was ever going on around here. Like, because the town is actually quite quiet.
Do you think you voted differently from the way your parents voted?
No.
Same.
Yeah. You sort of have your own right to identify as whatever you want to identify. Like, just if you identify as Northern Irish, that doesn't make you any less Catholic. My best friend is actually a Protestant, so it never really made a big difference to me. To me, everyone's just people. It's the same as being friends with all my friends. Like, there's no difference in it at all.
It's interesting how both youth groups that you met, they're facing the same funding issues, Brian.
Absolutely, and many of the young people from different communities I met told me that when they meet each other on these cross-community engagement programmes, the issues they're discussing, they told me, aren't really legacy issues. They're discussing issues many young people face. They're discussing housing, equality, access to secure employment, social justice. All these issues will ring true for young people across Europe, and they felt these issues unite them far more than divisions of the past might separate them.
Brian O'Connell, thank you very much. Now, I just have a statement in. It's coming via the newsroom. And Brian O'Donovan, our colleague there, Aer Lingus, have been in touch with him, and they say that all of their flights have operated as normal this morning, and we expect that to continue during the course of the day. Now, the problem is that their website and mobile apps are unavailable. Customers can check in at the Aer Lingus check-in desks, they say, and you should allow extra time for check-in. You should also check your airport website and screens for flight status information, and of course they're working on resolving the issues, but we'll keep an eye on that and see how it develops over the course of the day, and we'll see over the course of the morning and see if those queues build up. Next, though, on the programme, as the number of wild deer reach record highs, is it time for a cull?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.